This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There are teams that stumble into the playoffs, and now you have seven playoff teams.
Isn't that what the Steelers did last year?
Steelers, we caught them on a stumble. Totally stumbled, and they were way worse at the end of the year. Okay. And they lost Devin Bush. You said health. I mean, you did.
Because for a second, I said, "How could they get worse?" I go, yeah. "Well, I just think there's nowhere to go but up with that defense. I think that defense last year, with the exception of obviously a couple players, was bad, and that goes without saying. They've spent a lot of money and they've invested a lot in that defense.
Yeah,
but I think they're gonna be. I think it's going to be a rough start to the season. I do. I do not think they're going to be on schedule, and I think that's part of the reason why people are. Not as overwhelmingly positive about week one as we've heard in the past from the listeners. Got to tell you, I'm a little bit disappointed in some Ians.
Boy, that is interesting.
It's been a little bit different. Yeah, well, let's talk to Doug about that. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You pick it up that same vibe here at Doug LaMaurice from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, where fans are – I'm not getting the type of – ecstatic fanaticism I've gotten towards week one in years past.
I think that's a sign of growth and maturity, though.
Because
I think we have reached the point where people believe in their team so much they almost are preemptively nitpicking what is going to be a successful team. And I mean, to be honest, they're opening with probably what is their toughest game of the regular season to go on the road to Kansas City. An environment like that and a team that good. So I think this is the era of Browns fandom that we are in now, which is a wonderful place to be, which is like, okay, well, I'm pretty sure they're going to win 11 or 12 games, but I don't know about this. I don't know about that, which is what fans of really good football teams do.
Doug LaMaurice joining us on the hotline. So let's ask this. Let's try to have a big picture look, because we think Stefanski is going to be more big picture, less reactionary. We only have 1 year to judge him on so far, so we'll see. But how big really is this game for the Browns now that you have 17 games? It is on the road. It's week one. It's such a long season, as we found out last year when they got boat race in the opener and then seemed to be just fine.
I do think that it could matter for playoff seeding, right, which is on some level a crazy thing to talk about in week one. But on the other hand, I think if you go through – the Browns schedule and play the game and go through the KC schedule and go through the Buffalo schedule, I think you do wind up sort of in a 12-win range for all of them. And so this could be really important. But other than that, and that does matter, other than that, I think it doesn't matter almost at all, that it would be such a reasonable loss. I think Kansas City is going to be so motivated. As you guys are mentioning with the defense, you know, we don't know exactly yet. I think they have only nine of the 25 from the original 53-man roster are back on defense from last year. It's so new, but you figure it's going to be so much better from a talent standpoint. I'm not putting that much in week one because I don't really think it'll be indicative of who the Browns really are. I think it's quite possible they do go out there and lose pretty handily and then still have an incredible season. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Doug LaMaurice joining us on the show. Let me take it in a different direction here, but really down the same path. I think that this week is bigger for Kansas City than it is for the Browns. I think if the Browns go to Kansas City and they lose, well, it's a reasonable thing. As long as the only part I disagree with a little bit is like, as long as they don't get hammered, you're saying, oh, they could go get out there and they could lose handily and still it could be that way, which you're probably right about that. But I think for Kansas City, I think it's much bigger. How they got beat in the playoffs, how they got beat in the Super Bowl. You got the three rookies on the offensive line were questioning whether or not you have to protect Mahomes. If the Browns were to beat Kansas City, that means they would have gotten to Mahomes. You could see Monday kind of being a real powder keg if Kansas City were to lose this football game.
I think that's exactly right, and I think they know that. I think it sets a tone for their season in a way that it wouldn't necessarily set a tone for the Brown season. And I've been saying for a while, like I almost, you know, I think national pundits might jump off the Brown bandwagon if the Browns go out and, you know, don't and lose by 17 or something. But I don't think it could actually affect the team all that much. I mean, we saw last year. I mean, they went out and weren't at all the team they were going to be in week one, and they wound up fine. But I do think, to your point, especially about the offensive line, I think it could drop seeds of doubt in Kansas City that haven't really been there almost at all since the Mahomes era started. So, you know, it's great. You'd love to have a home opener in a big game like that. But I think on some level, when you're the road team, you have much, you know, kind of a nothing to lose kind of deal. And I think there are some things here that go in the Browns' favor that they'll still be the Browns after week one, I think, no matter what. But I do think, to your point, Kansas City could set a tone for its season if it doesn't go the way it wants it to.
I can't wait to see how Odell Beckham performs in this game because he seemed to be way ahead of schedule. He's putting out every workout video you can imagine. And yet, you know, last year, this unfortunate narrative came out of nowhere that, you know, Baker and him can't coexist and Baker can only run a good offense without him, which just seems preposterous. So I'm excited to see how he plays. And if they don't play well together and don't have the chemistry again, I think that is one thing that I think could be blown up into a huge national storyline in this week one.
I think that's possible. I think it is. It is one of those things. Would it mean the Browns can't win? No, because the Browns won without him last year. But I think people might grasp on to that idea, which, again, I don't – that is not my expectation. That's not what I think it is. You know, Odell had the drop right in week one last year. That's kind of like, what's going on here? But then that wasn't indicative necessarily of what kind of player he is because he, you know, dropped the ball in week one. I just think it will work. Because I think they will find ways to integrate him. I think the biggest thing is, I think there were times in the past when Odell was open and Baker didn't get him the ball down the field, maybe because he was second-guessing himself a little bit. So then when you don't throw it to him when he is open, then maybe that's where you start trying to force it to him when he isn't open and you get trapped in a cycle. I think Baker is much more in a place to take what's there, take aggressive shots and not be afraid to do that, but also do it within the confines of the offense. I just do think it's going to integrate better, but I could see that. But again, whatever, just because they might talk about it on ESPN, I don't know that it means it would actually be an issue, you know, in the room if Baker and Odell aren't immediately on the same page.
He's got a new book about Ohio State. We'll ask Doug about that here in just a moment. Just one more Browns question from me. Do you think something will get done with Baker during the season?
I don't know. I'm terrible on contracts. I know that Baker, I feel very confident that Baker Mayfield is the long-term quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And so it feels like they're on the same page that it doesn't seem like one side really wants to get it done and one side is reluctant. It seems like both want to do it and they're generally okay with the timetable. And that to me is the most important thing. A, is it eventually going to get done? Of course, yes. B, is it causing bad feeling in the course of getting it done? It sure as heck doesn't feel that way. So I think those are the two things that matter, like when it actually happens and whether he gets an extra couple million per year or a little bit below what you expected based on performance or what the other quarterback sign. I don't think it matters that much. I really think it's a good vibe of where Baker's side is and where Andrew Berry and the Browns are just in terms of talking it out. So I don't know, but I have every expectation that it'll be okay. And it won't be, you know, a TJ Watt kind of thing. Like you guys just ran on the news with a great player for the Steelers. Like that just, I don't think it's going to get to somewhere like that. So I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah. But Doug, I think you're right in that some of these are so unpredictable, but I've seen so many of these situations where out of nowhere, something wasn't a problem until the day it is. And I guess my question would be, why wouldn't the Browns have already offered him a contract? What are they waiting for? Because there's so many benefits to them just getting it signed now, getting it done now. You're going to get him way cheaper than you would if they say go to the Super Bowl at the end of the year. I get why Baker might want to wait, although I think there's some risk too if he gets injured. And you know, Case Keenum ends up doing okay. I think there's some risk there too. Why do you think the Browns wouldn't take care of it right now and get it done before the season?
I mean, it's like the question almost like makes an assumption that it is an issue where I just don't know that we have proof that it's an issue. This, I mean, it is, it's this kind of stuff. I don't know. Right. But I think Baker Mayfield likes the Browns and I trust Andrew Berry running the Browns. I think those two things have been established with the performance and the personalities of the two sides involved. And so I don't know how it hurts the football, right? I don't think this process is going to hurt the Browns trying to win games. It doesn't feel like that at all to me right now. So could it be done? Yeah, I guess it could be done by now. But I don't know. I don't know that we have to first guess the idea of it could go wrong when we don't have an indication. And Anthony, I know what you're saying. Sometimes stuff just does pop up out of nowhere and you'd rather get it over with. But I still am a little bit fascinated by how much in general people in the NFL think about contract stuff when pretty much everybody agrees he's going to be the quarterback long term. And I think it's fine. I'm not an expert on it for sure, but I just don't think it's going to hurt the football, which really is what matters.
Doug LaMaurice joining us on the show. He's got a new book. It's called The Road to Ohio State, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns Along the Ohio State Buckeyes Recruiting Trail. It's available next week in paperback. Tell us about the book here, Doug.
It's part of a series that started with Michigan, then Alabama. Ohio State is third on the list. It's 17 individual stories of Ohio State players and their recruitment. It's all about the recruitment, how they got to Ohio State. So it's a lot of familiar names, the Bosa brothers, Keith Byers, James Laurinaitis, Ryan Shazier, Travion Henderson, the freshman running back for Ohio State, and then some under-the-radar guys who had interesting commitments, guys like Kenny Guyton, Damon Webb, Ohio State going up to Michigan and get a guy. I talked to Urban about it. I talked to Ryan Day. I talked to Jim Tressel. I talked to John Cooper. I talked to Kerry Combs. I talked to Tony Alford. I talked to all the people involved. And just sort of got behind the scenes of how these guys really decided to be Buckeyes. Listen, I mean, it's, you know, there's some stuff in there that people have heard before, but there's some new details in there, and people seem to love recruiting. And if you love recruiting in Ohio State, then I think this might interest you.
I love this kind of stuff, especially when guys are willing to be a little more open down the road. I mean, the Terrell Pryor one to this day was amazing because nobody had ever bucked the system before to this extent about a national signing day and then making the entire college football world wait a week, which is what he did and ended up deciding Ohio State, which people say he'll never play for Jim Tressel, an offense like that. And then the other one that comes to mind, the Von Miller, Raekwon McMillan, you know, Urban had just signed on with Ohio State and all of a sudden he's flipping recruits. And I just can't wait to read this book and try to see, you know, how those guys did it and how the difference between, say, Tressel and Ryan Day and Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I mean, it is. There's a lot of stuff that's the same over time, right? That there are times where, you know, Michael Jenkins, the, you know, holy Buckeye receiver coming up from Florida, had been on his a visit at Virginia Tech, and Michael Vick drove him around, and he was like, oh, my God, like Michael Vick is my recruiting host at Virginia Tech. I want to go here. And then his dad was like, no, we're not going to commit yet. We're going to take all our visits. And he came to Ohio State. And then he doesn't even exactly know what it is, but he wanted to go to Ohio State. He loved Ohio State. And they worked him really hard, and they got him up here from Florida. And there's enough guys over time that there's something, you come on campus and something happens. You have a relationship with an assistant coach, and it happens. But, you know, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff of even at a place like Ohio State, there are individual personal connections that matter. Urban Meyer drove Wyatt Davis around on a golf cart on Wyatt Davis's official visit when he came here from California. And Wyatt Davis was like, man, Like, I got a personal tour from the coach, and, like, that really mattered in recruiting an All-American offensive lineman. So it's a lot of little individual stories. And, the bottom line you find out in recruiting is you never know what's going to work, which is why the schools do 10 different things for every guy, because it might be the one thing that clicks that gets them here.
Doug LeMaurice, find the book, The Road to Ohio State, incredible twists and improbable turns along the Ohio State Buckeye recruiting trail. Doug's one of our favorites. Find him on Twitter as well. Doug, we thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best.
Thanks for having me, guys.
The wonderful Doug LeMaurice, Cleveland.com, also an author, just like we told you about the book. Find it wherever books are sold. It's coming up September 14th in paperback. 216-578-0092. Talk about the Would You Rathers coming up. And it was a funny joke when John McKay said it. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.